And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, November the 17th, 1 week away from Thanksgiving 2016. 1:13 coming up on 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with Terry Tackett. And our very special guest today, as she is each and every third Thursday of the month, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. And of all the meetings we've had, this might be the most interesting one, Mary Ellen.
You really think so, Scott?
I think since we've met last, something interesting happened.
Oh, that's for sure.
Oh, so I've never asked a question this short. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the people spoke.
What did the people say?
They said they wanted Donald Trump for president, and so things are moving right along.
We had talked many times, being that you had worked in the Clinton administration, that this was even a little more important than the Obama elections. What did it mean to you personally?
Well, of course, I knew Hillary, and that had a lot to do with how I felt about everything. And it was very sad to see her lose, because I thought, here we have a chance to have her as president, the first woman, and she'll make a great president, and it didn't work out that way.
You're a good analyzer of elections. Going in that day, 9 days ago now, how sure were you that she was going to win before the polls started coming in?
Well, I was pretty sure she was going to win because I was listening to everyone and the predictions and everything, and it looked to me like it was going to be a win.
And when did you first start to think there's trouble?
Well, when Florida didn't come around the way it should have, it was about a quarter after two, I think, and I gave up on it. I thought, well, I don't think she's going to make it.
What do you think happened in these normally blue places, especially Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well, you know, they call it the Rust Belt. I think there's a need for jobs in those three states. I think there's a problem there, and I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the trade situation that was going on had a lot to do with it. And I don't know. It was a situation with Hillary and people not thinking she was telling the truth. That's what really bothered me, because that attitude that she was not truthful, I thought was, I could not see why they felt that way.
Sherrod Brown was on this program on Tuesday, and I asked him why he thought that Hillary Clinton did not win. And he said that she did not give the right hope to people on economic issues. Did you think she talked about economics enough?
Well, she had her plans, and I don't know that she talked about it enough, but she had it on the computer where you could bring it up. I felt that maybe instead of some of the things that they talked about, it should have been talked about more.
You've been around elections for a while on the local, national, state level. Have you ever seen polling so wrong?
Well, you know, the last time it was wrong for the presidential, they had Romney doing a lot better than what he did. I don't know what's happening with the polling, because they were very alert to what happened before, and they didn't want that to happen again. I just wondered if people were telling the truth when they would answer on the surveys, whether they were saying, you know, what they were going to do.
You have traveled to a lot of foreign countries, met with a lot of very important foreign leaders. What do you think this does to us in foreign countries to look now at Donald Trump? How do you think they look at us?
Well, I think they're very anxious to see how he's going to approach everything. I think they're all very nervous. And, you know, the thing with Putin is a concern. I think Congress will keep a close watch on Trump about Putin, because they don't want him getting too friendly with him.
Do you think Donald Trump, because now the story is there's a Republican House, Republican Senate, and a Republican president.
Yes, everything.
But is Donald Trump a Republican?
Well, I don't know. He ran as one, so we'll assume.
The 60 Minutes interview on Sunday brought some very interesting issues to light just 5 days after the election. The wall might now be a fence. Mm-hmm. The deportations are currently only going to be for people who have broken the law, not all illegal immigrants. He might not prosecute Hillary Clinton. He's thinking that over. He is okay with same-sex marriage. He's no problem in messing with that.
And he's going to move the abortions to the state level.
Well, you have to overturn Roe versus Wade first. He doesn't have the votes to do it yet, right, even if he appoints this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he even said it would not be a complete outlaw. It would be back to the states. And
yeah,
if you wanted to have one done, you just go to a different state. Those were his words.
Yeah.
He would not. Well, his campaign promise was he would not have lobbyists, and now he says he does have lobbyists because they help him work. If you're a Donald Trump supporter, how do you feel after that 60 Minutes interview?
I don't know. I think you ought to ask them, because if I had a candidate that reversed on everything practically that he said, I'd be concerned.
So was the election, as a spectator, as we all were, was it more of a show or was it a run? Was it a campaign?
I think he was going with how he thought the people felt, and it was his approach to the audiences. You know, he would react from the audiences. It was really interesting because that does tell you a lot about how people feel, the way you get the reaction. And I think that's what he operated on.
Hillary Clinton was not the only one out there. There was so much made of President Obama campaigning more than any sitting president, First Lady Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, Vice President, Bill Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. They were all out there.
Right.
Why were they not able to help?
Well, I'll tell you, it's hard to transfer that loyalty and your opinion. It's very hard to transfer it to the candidate. I've thought many times when you endorse someone, it maybe doesn't even mean anything, because people really don't care who is endorsing that person. They just want to know about that person, you know?
This group of people who voted for Donald Trump, what do you think the general makeup is? What do they want? Are they voting for change?
Yes, I think that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted somebody to do something about things that weren't happening, and it's so ironic, because if Congress had worked with the president, I think things would have been a lot different.
Here's the question. We talked about this late last hour. Is it conceivable now that because you do have a Republican House and a Republican Senate, that they will pass things that Donald Trump wants that they would not pass for Obama? The first big one's going to be the jobs bill.
Mm-hmm.
Obama has been trying to get that passed for about 4 years. They've turned it down every time.
Right.
And they've pretty well said that they will pass it first time Trump puts it up.
Mm-hmm.
Could this make Trump a success?
Well, it's going to help. Yes, of course. A lot of people don't remember the past, you know. They only think about yesterday, and you hear the different reasons that people supported Trump, and it was usually criticism of how things didn't get done, and they didn't really understand what was being dealt with in Washington. It's rather sad that they don't understand better what was happening.
Why, since Obama's second year, have the Democrats had such trouble with the Senate and the House?
Well, they didn't want to cooperate with him.
But when he came in, he had 2 years of a Democratic Senate.
Yes, well, that's different.
Right, but why have they not been able now to win it back in 6 years?
They didn't want him to be a success. That was absolutely it.
Do you think, leaving office with over a 50% approval rating, that he would be deemed a success?
I think he would be.
So
I think history will say he was a success.
What will history say was the determining factor in this election?
I think changing, say the auto industry and the, you know, losing 800,000 jobs a month was what was happening when he came in. And getting, well, the unemployment, it was down to what, 4.75 or something now. All that work, but it didn't seem like he was getting enough jobs for the people in the Rust Belt.
It was a real Midwest election is where it all fell in the end.
Yeah.
And there's a big talk now about, do the people in California and New York understand the middle of the country? Mm-hmm. Do you think they do?
Well, it's different on the coasts. I think they have a different attitude. The inner part of the country is, it's different. I realized that when I lived in Bethesda, that the East Coast had a different attitude. Of course, you're right there in Washington, you know, and it is, first of all, it was a Democratic state. Maryland is a Democratic state, which made it very different. But the people on the coasts, I think, are, I don't know how to say it, whether it's being a little bit more adventurous with their lives, or how to explain it, but that's the way I'll say it.
You know something, that when I'm looking at that electoral map, what really is confusing to me, because I guess in a way I understand the idea that California and New York and all of the East Coast, New York or New Hampshire and Connecticut and all those up there are in a certain area of this country. But when I look at that electoral map, when you flag through the Midwest, Trump won Ohio, Trump won Indiana, Trump won Pennsylvania, he won Michigan, he won Wisconsin, and then there's this blue spot of Illinois. Now, what is different in Illinois right in that area?
Chicago.
It's a city.
Mm-hmm. But so, it's big enough that it carries it, I think.
So what is it about cities, because that's...
Well, it's big cities, New York, you know, San Francisco. The big cities are Democratic.
Why is that?
Because of the thinking of the people that live there. They're liberals.
What would the topography and the population of a city have to do with your thinking as far as politics goes?
Well, I mean, I just said it. I mean, they're liberals. They approach things with a liberal view, where the center of the state is very conservative. My gosh, you get in Nebraska, you want to talk about conservative, and it's just a different attitude about everything.
I guess that's maybe what I guess I'm trying to figure out when I look at that map. What is it? Because we all have cable television now. We all have internet in this country. We all have access to magazines, newspapers, whatever you want, whether you're in Omaha or Chicago. What is it about being in a city that has a population of 30,000 that's different than being in a population of 100,000 that affects your voting record?
Well, life in a city of 100,000 is a lot different than life in a city of 30,000. I mean, you're talking Marion, Ohio, when you say 30,000. It's a little bit more than that. But then you look at Columbus. Columbus is, what is it? Now, if you take, it's a million, isn't it? Along with Cleveland is a million, and Cincinnati is still conservative. It's in 700,000 or something, I guess. But it could be the breakdown of the people that are there, whether they're African American or, you know, Hispanic, or you have the different nationalities a little bit more in the big cities than you do in the urban.
Where does the Democratic Party go from here? Because one of the great discussions was because you start thinking the next day, who are we going to run next time? Now, obviously, President Obama can't run again. Joe Biden, by age, I think will not be running next time. Yeah. Hillary Clinton, not going to run. Bernie Sanders, not going to run.
I hope not.
Who's the star of that now?
Well, there's a lot of people. I'm very interested in what's going to happen with Tim Ryan and Nancy Pelosi. Tim Ryan's on his way up. Elizabeth Warren is on her way up. There's a lot of good Democrats out there.
Who do you think is going to be the first to really have problem with what Trump does? Because a lot of people involved with this election will no longer be in office when Donald Trump takes office.
Well, you've got the criticism going on from, well, Elizabeth Warren has been very critical of him since the election, and Barbara Boxer, I listened to her on Chelsea the other night. You know, it's and they're talking about the Electoral College, and I find that very interesting. It's a question whether anything should be done there or not, because they have the Electoral College as a protection to the smaller states, but the candidates don't go to the smaller states. If you analyze where they go to where the population is. And I'll bet, well, I remember North Dakota. Nobody had been to North Dakota. and it was kind of, I thought, my heavens, not at all, you know. If you go to the Electoral College, I guess there's 11 states that the people that do the electoral voting can vote for the one that has the most votes instead of for the Electoral College. And if the whole country had states that had that clause in there, then we would maybe have a different approach to it. It's half a dozen of this and six of the other.
Well, yeah. You know, there is a talk right now about, is this a possibility? Because there are states where that still can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If Donald Trump, before December, continues to do things that bother people,
mm-hmm.
I mean, can that conceivably happen? What would it be, 38 electoral votes she would need? Certainly you could ratchet those up in 11 states, I would think.
Well, yeah, depend on who they were, but yeah, I don't know who they are that have the ability to do that. It would be interesting to know.
Terry, when you were watching this election, what did you find to be the most interesting part? What interested you the most?
Excuse me, about
just the whole thing from the 15-month period. What was, everybody said it was different.
Yeah.
What was so different?
To me, it didn't have really the feel of a campaign, you know. It just, to me, I felt like I don't want to say I was watching a reality show, you know, but it just seemed like a drama almost, you know, or whatever. Every night it seemed like kind of like a soap opera maybe or something, and, you know.
Mary Ellen, a bad word against a politician used to end their career.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I know.
Are those days gone?
Evidently.
it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm-mm.
How much do you think, and I hate to dwell on this, but how much do you think did this have to do with Hillary Clinton being a woman?
Well, I do think there's a factor there, but, you know, I really think that Trump is surprised that he's president. I really do.
He looks a little surprised.
Uh-huh. When he met with Obama, I thought he looked very subdued and very different.
Oh, I just want to ask Mary Ellen a question. It's kind of off the beaten path a little bit, but kind of what we're talking about. Do you think that that comment about the deplorables had anything really to do?
I thought that was a terrible statement that she made. She should not need that, and how much effect it had, who knows? It's just like the Comey letter. How much effect, we don't know.
The timing of that was just terrible.
But you know, it was when the the heat of the campaign, it was rolling along really good, and then he pops up with this, and so you wonder.
Why did he do that?
I think he was protecting himself. I think he felt at risk if he didn't say it, and he didn't want to. He has a very good reputation. I'm not so sure it's very good right now. But at the time, he was trying to protect his reputation. And I think he had promised the Republicans in Congress that he would let them know if there was any reason to. And that's how it came about.
Could this election, a lot of it, well, Hillary attributed it to that.
Yeah, I think she did. But I felt that way before I heard her say that, that I think he was protecting himself.
Did you happen to catch any of her speech last night?
Yes. Yeah. She gave a good speech.
What did you think?
Well, I felt her pain, I'll tell you, because losing an election is terrible, even on a local level. But just think about losing it on the presidential level. I bet she said she just wanted to curl up and read a book. And I can imagine, you know, that's about the way you would feel. They all say that. I don't care who they are. When they lose an election, it's terrible for them. It's awful to get over.
You know, I was looking at her last night and watching that speech, and I just thought she looked different.
Well, she didn't have her makeup on.
No, she looked different.
But they didn't have her eye makeup on.
No.
Why? I don't know.
I just thought she looked. First thing I noticed when she walked out there, this is horrible because it's been talked about so much, was her hair.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she just looked different.
Yeah.
I mean, is that just maybe she has been in bed for a week? Maybe
I think she just felt really bad and didn't really want to do this, but she did it, you know.
Is this, as you say, everybody who loses an election feels bad. Is this compounded because, first of all, Donald Trump was a candidate people campaigned against fear. Number two, the day of the election, she was leading the polls. Number three, this was the first woman. I think people always thought she was going to be the first woman president, mm-hmm. that this was her last shot, theoretically. There were a lot more factors there than I think for the normal person who was going to lose an election. Is this just absolutely off the charts painful for her?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And, you know, if just stop and think, if it hadn't been the emails, which just monopolized that campaign from beginning to end. Just think about it. If it hadn't been the emails, how would the campaign have gone? Because it all ended up in such a weird way.
What do you think the play from Russia was?
Yeah, well, I think they shouldn't be messing in our election, I tell you. I'd really, if I were the CIA or NSA, I think I'd be on that, and I think they are.
We talked about this in the first hour. You know Hillary. Where do you think she'll go?
Well, I think she's probably got something in mind. Something will come up, and she'll be really good at it, whatever it is.
Do you foresee her just going to work for the Clinton Foundation and being?
No, I don't think it'll be the Clinton Foundation. I think that's Bill's thing. I think she'll do something for women and children. I think that's where she'll go.
Do you think there'll be a book on this election by Trump won't write one because he'll be a sitting president. Mm-hmm. Do you think she'll do a book?
Well, I don't know. She might probably want to. I don't know. There'll be a lot of books by different people.
Do you think she'll be critical of Trump?
Well, I don't know. She's been very good about it so far. I just don't know what she'll do.
What did you make of the protest for six nights?
Well, they're upset.
Yeah, they are upset.
Yeah, I know some people that are very upset, yeah.
Is this, when people were crying at the celebration party, what was supposed to be the celebration party for Hillary Clinton, when people were there crying, What do you think was the big letdown? I'd never seen something like that at a headquarters.
Well, they thought they were going to be there, and they weren't. I mean, it's over, you know.
Was this a thing, though, because it was a lot of women,
yeah,
a lot of young girls.
Yeah.
Is that it's got to be a terrible thing. I thought the most poignant part of her concession speech was where she said, "We didn't break the last glass ceiling, but someday somebody will." And she had always inferred that it would be her.
Yeah.
And I think this this was kind of the swan song for her.
Oh, that's right.
And when you look back, I'll ask you both of these questions because we're about to end both of them, but how are we going to look back on the political life of Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think she's a marvelous candidate. You know, you put her up against somebody else, you just really wonder. Somebody like, say, John McCain, or say even Romney, there wouldn't have been that terrible language, because that terrible language came out with Trump, and then it caused her to have language that wasn't really good either, but nothing like him. I think it would have been a totally different ballgame if it hadn't been. Trump is such a, I guess a person that can read his audiences, I would say.
It will end in about 60 days. What is the presidency of Barack Obama going to be looked on like?
Well, I think he'll be looked on as a good president. I think as time goes by, he did a lot of good.
Bill Clinton being so heavily involved in this, and being that Hillary, of course, was the first lady during his presidency, did any of the things that were thrown at him that this new generation maybe had not heard or been around for affect his legacy?
You say Bill Clinton's?
Yeah.
Well, I thought they tried to destroy his legacy. I thought he had a wonderful legacy, and then they got into it during the campaign, and it made him look like he hadn't done such a good job, but he had. He had a wonderful administration.
Even Al Gore came back,
yes,
and campaigned.
Yeah, just that, all I know of is that once.
Right, down in Florida.
Yeah.
Do you think that, because here's what is so shocking to me. On this program, we had, in the course of about 2 weeks, we had Ted Strickland, Madeleine Albright, Jesse Jackson, Al Franken, and John Lewis, all on this program.
Really?
Yeah, and they all said that Trump is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is scary.
Yeah.
This is going to be bad. Now, I certainly understand unification of the country, but how do you just blow all that away and say away we go in one night?
Well, yeah, you're talking about people that are in the system that understand how it is, and you're talking about voters that are not in the system, that are looking at it from a totally different direction. They're looking at it from, they want to see a change, and they don't care about who it is. They just want a change, and there you are.
Is it possible that this is not as big a worry as people thought? That he will become president, and business will go on as normal, and after a year, it will just be commonplace that it's President Trump, whether some people will like him, some people will hate him, but it'll be the same old thing.
Well, I said this. I said I made it through Nixon. I made it through George W. Bush. I can make it through Trump. And that's after I listened to him on 60 Minutes, I felt a little bit better, but the thing is, you can't trust him staying on a subject. He can change the next day on something he believes in. That's what scares me.
What do people do? Because he did use such harmful rhetoric, especially when it came to Muslims and Latinos. What do those people do? Will this country, do you think, stand for deportations?
I hope not. They had a person that was a Muslim that came to the to Marion, to the Democratic headquarters, and spoke. And his father had come to the United States because John F. Kennedy said, "We're going to go to the moon with the I can't think of the word. The astronauts are going to go." And so this young man, he grew up in the United States, and he said his father said, "You've got to get into this campaign. You've got to tell people how you feel." And he was a very responsible man. He had a good job, and I was trying to remember exactly what his job was, and I can't remember. But listening to him, you could feel how he felt. It was, you know, to have somebody that's running for the highest office in the land say that they didn't want you, weren't going to let you here, it would be very scary. I can understand how they feel.
Will the people who are Americans, because I always use the civil rights movement as an example of this, that in the end came down to politics, legislation did have to be signed to get rid of separate but equal, sign the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
But essentially, the politicians, some of them marched, but it wasn't that people marched. When things got bad, people said, "We're not going to take it. We're gonna change this," and the politicians had no choice. Do you think that the United States in the technology age still has that 60s protest left in them if something major like that should come about?
Well, they're protesting still, aren't they? Weren't they out there last night?
I think seventh or eighth night.
Yeah. In the big cities,
yeah. What can they do? Because a lot of people are saying, "Stop doing this." A lot of people are saying, "What are you protesting for?" We know what they're protesting against.
Yeah, the question is, did they vote? You know,
that is a question.
Yeah, right. We don't know that for sure.
Do you think this was? People compared it a lot to Brexit. That people mm-hmm. just didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
They really, maybe they wanted Hillary Clinton, but mm-hmm. they just didn't show up. They thought it was a slam dunk, and they didn't come.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's an interesting thing, because I think this election, people will study it, and they'll try to figure out mm-hmm. exactly
right.
what happened. And what happened to the third party candidates? Because they did not do well.
they weren't very good.
No, they didn't. And people were saying they're going to get 10% and they're going to...
Yeah, well, Weld was a decent candidate, but Johnson, I thought he was a joke. Yeah.
And this is the second or third time he's run in a presidential election.
Is it?
Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He never got the traction that he got this time.
Well.
What did the media play into this? Trump?
Well, big part.
For or against, or where did they fall in this?
Well, I think, of course, it depended on who you listened to, the different stations. Most everyone tries to be neutral, but it's very hard to be neutral. You know, if you listen to MSNBC, you were a Democrat. If you listen to Fox, you were a Republican. And they had different points of view. I thought the Fox station was really radical. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh is very radical. And I don't know, you know, we'll spend a lot of time trying to figure this one out.
Just not to spend all the time on the election, in the last 13 minutes here, I do want to go over three issues that the new president is making headlines with. And the first one is security clearance for his kids, possibly his son-in-law. Is that a good or bad idea? And from somebody who's worked in government, why is it a good or bad idea?
I don't know, but I wish he'd release his income tax, because I'd like to know where he's got all his, you know, they say he owns millions of dollars to foreign banks. And if he gets his kids in, I don't know, it doesn't sound good to me.
This whole security clearance is becoming a big issue. Rudy Giuliani had some interesting.
he thinks he's Secretary of State already.
Well, that's a question. He has went on television now and said I don't want to be Attorney General. Don't ask me to do it. Secretary of State is where it's at. Now, Donald Trump, who undoubtedly, I think even if you asked him to his face, would say, I have a tremendous ego. Do you think he likes Rudy Giuliani going on programs and doing that?
No, listen, that's the last thing somebody that's been elected president wants somebody to do, to go out there and say they have the job when they don't have it yet. I'm anxious to see how that turns out.
What do you think Rudy's... why does he want to be Secretary of State?
I hope not, because he's got all this, you know, you look at the amount of money that he made. They were criticizing Hillary for getting a lot of money for her speeches, and he was getting almost as much as she did. And in all these different countries, I don't know what he was doing out there. It's sort of scary to think about him running around to countries saying things, and who knows what he was saying.
Chris Christie kind of got pushed out of that. And, of course, the other big story is the appointment of Steve Bannon to a high position. It's an interesting position, but apparently he's going to report directly to Donald Trump, doesn't have to go through the chief of staff. And he comes from a website, Breitbart, before this campaign, which... not him. I mean, there is a record of him saying things that are not so good, but the website has expressed anti-Semitic things, racist things. Why do you think Donald Trump made that appointment, an early one, because that would garner so much negative attention?
Well, of course, I think he feels an obligation to him from the campaign. You know, he played a big part in the campaign. I'm anxious to see what he does with Kellyanne.
Yeah.
You haven't heard a thing.
Nothing yet. She's still out there
doing
a lot of talking about him.
Right.
But other than that, not much. The Megyn Kelly book came out this week. And in that book, she talks about how before the second primary debate, which she helped moderate for Fox Republican, that Donald Trump called and had threatened her. What do you make of that, and how's that going to read as time goes on that he did that?
Well, you know, the way he treated her was, I thought, terrible. And it really shows you what sort of a person he is, I think.
And I guess the end result then is how did... this person, did people just really overlook everything? Did they just say, we need a change, and no matter what his personal character is, mm-hmm. no matter what he says, he's the guy?
Evidently.
I wonder, though, because the voter turnout, to my understanding, John McCain and Mitt Romney both had more votes than Donald Trump got, and neither one of them won. It's just Hillary Clinton had a trouble somehow motivating the Democratic base against Donald Trump.
You mean votes for president?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why did that become such a problem? Because you could theorize, if the Democrats didn't like Hillary, if they didn't like her as much as they liked Obama, that 6 million fewer stayed home this time, you would think the Democrats would turn out against Trump, being such a polarizing candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't that drive him?
I don't know. I can't figure that out either.
Yeah, it's a bizarre situation. It was a bizarre year. Is Donald Trump more of a? Do you think he'll become a politician? Is it possible?
No, I don't think so. I think he will. operate like he did on his television show. I think that'll be sort of his way of operating. I think, you know, he's looking for loyalty, and that's good because you do look for loyalty. That's one thing you've got to have. I don't think that's wrong at all on his part, but to hold grudges, he seems to hold grudges, which bothers me.
Why is it that during the election, nothing ever really stuck to him? Even the Access Hollywood video, I mean, he dimmed in the polls for a minute, but not long. Why was there never anything that hurt him? Like the Mitt Romney moment, like we could say the Hillary Clinton deplorable moment. Mm-hmm. We could say the emails. We could say a lot of the first debate for President Obama in 2012 hurt him in the polls. Why he by all accounts, lost all three debates, said some horrible stuff to people, never really hurt him in the polls.
Yeah, I don't know. You got me on that one.
The psychology of this country right now, I think, is very interesting, and people will have to decide that. Now, looking ahead in 2 years, there will be another big Senate and House election. Mm-hmm. We don't have crystal balls, but do you think that this will be a referendum on everything Donald Trump does in the next 2 years?
It probably will. You have that usually happen that way, and if everything's like it normally is, that will happen.
The piece of legislation that holds President Obama's name, Obamacare, do you think it's as good as done with the way things are set up? Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican President, Republican Supreme Court appointment?
You don't know what's going to happen. They've never had a plan, which, you know, I've always wondered about. And I can only think about my own situation. I had a withdrawal plan, and as soon as I was out of office, it was no longer called a withdrawal plan, but the plan is still there.
Oh.
Yeah. It was linked deposits. And whatever they call Obamacare, I hope they... when he said there would not be a day without insurance, I was very glad to hear that because I worried about that.
Well, here's a question. I think this is very important for the people who have Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
Up until 6 years ago, people in this country, the vast majority, I think it was about 80%, did not have health insurance.
Yeah.
Now over 90% do.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to go back to the way it was before? Or would people get furious?
Well, I think they would get furious. If I were them, I'm not on Obamacare, but if I was, I would be furious.
So even though almost every candidate for president, every candidate for Senate and House have just beat the tar out of Obamacare for the last 6 years,
right?
There really is no way not to have national health care in the United States anymore.
That's right.
They're stuck.
Yeah.
They can call it what they want, but really, it's the way it's going to be. With 3 minutes left, 3.5 minutes, in final analysis, where did Bernie Sanders factor in this?
You know, he was talking about a lot last night. Did you hear that?
I hear he's the first one out there talking a lot.
Yeah, and he's got a tan. I wondered where he'd been.
in Vermont this time of year, I don't know where he went.
I heard Montpelier's.
Is that where he was? I don't know where he went.
But I have never been a Bernie Sanders fan. I think you know that. And I don't know. He's... I don't know where he's going.
Well, just for fun, because we've got 2.5 minutes left, our governor, Governor Kasich, was supposed to give this great speech when he thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. He'd already planned to go to Washington when Hillary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But the story was, for people out there who didn't know, that on Election Day, behind the scenes, what had happened was we knew that the new president was going to meet with President Obama on Thursday, and it was a pretty foregone conclusion to people that it was going to be Hillary and that Donald Trump had wrecked the Republican Party. So our governor had decided that he was going to go to Washington on Thursday and give this speech while they were meeting and take control of the Republican Party. Joke was on him that night that that didn't happen. So where John Kasich's out of office in 2 years, he can't run again. If he did, obviously that was a shot to run for president again.
Mm-hmm.
This time he'd be running against an incumbent Republican, mm-hmm. if he tried.
No, I don't think he can go anywhere now.
Do you think maybe he was crying the biggest tears of all?
He probably was on election night. Because he made some choices there that just shut him out of the gate.
How do I say? Is the conservative, and obviously being a Democrat, this is an interesting take. Are the Republicans Donald Trump now? Are the Republicans John Kasich? Because they have very different philosophies.
I know they do. But they both call themselves Republicans.
Exactly.
Yeah. And everybody's getting their parties in order. I mean, it seems like it's a big reorganization, and it's going to be interesting. I'm anxious to see what happens.
Maybe the final question here with 1 minute left is, if John Kasich can win the governorship of Ohio by over 60% margin in his reelection, and Donald Trump can win the state of Ohio with 57% of the vote, and neither one of these men like each other, they don't agree with other on much, and one did not vote for the other, and the other wants to stop the other at whatever he does. Is it really just about the R and the D for a lot of people? The Republican and Democrat. What party do you belong to bases what person you're going to vote for?
Well, yeah, it's R and D, but as I said earlier, Trump demands loyalty, and he didn't have it from Kasich, and he's probably going to have a rough road with the last 2 years of his administration, I would say.
A prediction, will Rudy Giuliani be Secretary of State?
I hope not.
Will Hillary Clinton be prosecuted?
I hope not.
Do you think Obama will pardon her?
Probably.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, it's always an absolute pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Scott.
More coming up momentarily here on WWGH Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are